Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Alongside Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow. With you for the next 16 minutes, we'll be taking your phone calls at 201-939-4513. You can also chime in on the conversation via Twitter using hashtag GiantsChat, as we'll go over the Giants game yesterday, a 32-18 victory over the Bucks to move to 5-4 on the season in sole possession of first place in the NFC East. So certainly a lot to delve into. And Jeff, this was a game that wasn't necessarily pretty from many different fronts on defense, but they made the stops that they needed at the end of the game. Closing out the game has been a big point of emphasis by Tom Coughlin. The offense got that key drive to set up Josh Brown's field goal, and the defense, another game with three takeaways.
Yeah, and they pride themselves on those takeaways, and I think that that's kind of, in my opinion, what is keeping this team afloat. Why they're in first place is because of those turnovers, keeping them in games. And, you look at what happened last week against the New Orleans Saints. You know, that defense I don't think is that bad, but it certainly exposed a lot of areas that they needed to improve on. I think they went and did that this week. They improved on their run defense because we knew that Doug Martin was going to come out here and try to run the football against this team. We still see some leakage in the passing game, but certainly, like you said, they toughened up in the red zone, because this game really, if you think about it, the Buccaneers put some touchdowns on the board. Mike Evans doesn't have six drops in this game. This is a different story. This is, really when you think about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they gift-wrapped, in my opinion, this game too. The Giants, obviously you earn every one of them, the wins, but when you look at what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers didn't do, it could have been a lot closer than it was. Well, it was close. It was 5 points in the fourth quarter, so it was really a
23-18.
And if it, Josh Brown comes out as having an amazing year, knock on wood, has not missed a field goal since dating back to last season, however many in a row it is, 23
now in a row, yeah.
So I think that, his leg is keeping the Giants alive, and they had a good showing yesterday running the football. Wasn't the greatest thing, but you now understand what the Giants are going to do. They're going to bring in, you got four running backs. They're going to keep them fresh, kind of like that D-line rotation that you see sometimes in the NFL. Well, they're doing it with their running backs, and they're going to keep the hot hand. And he'll get in, one guy will get a series. And if that's three plays, it's three. If it's nine plays, it's nine. But then the next guy comes in. And, so that's kind of what was happening. I thought the Giants improved in their third down efficiency, which they were 4 of 11 the week before. They ended up being, much higher than that this week, and that really helped their offense. But, again, you have the defense, and really when you think about what JPP did, what his expectations were, what the team's expectations were, what the fans' expectations were coming into this game and having him play like he did, all we heard about was that, yeah, we're going to get 15 or 20 plays out of him. We're saving him toward the fourth quarter when our other defensive linemen get tired. Well, he was in for 45 or 46 plays out of 60-something, over 70% of the plays. That's pretty darn good for a guy that's been out of football.
And he was very active, too, Jeff.
He was very active.
That's what was even more impressive.
He got hits on the quarterback. His presence was known out there. His energy level was there. We finally have seen a little bit of pressure on the quarterback, and it's a nice thing to see. And really, in the fourth quarter, on that drive that Jameis Winston scored the touchdown, prior to that, that was the series that really caught my eye with JPP. Was that defense started to put a lot of pressure on Winston. They punted that series. Then they came back after that, getting the ball back, and that's when James Winston went down and scored the touchdown. But that was good to see. It was really good to see.
And even the drive after Josh Brown hit the 53-yard field goal, Jeff, the Giants go up 23-18. Then Tampa Bay gets the ball back. They're marching down the field. They get into Giants territory. They face a 1st and 10 at the Giants 49. Three straight incompletions by Winston, and JPP was very much involved pressure,
yeah,
forcing him out of the pocket, making him feel uncomfortable. Two quarterback hits, two tackles. You mentioned the majority of the snaps.
Yeah, and that was the series I was talking about, the one that started on the 49-yard line. But you know, you gotta think about JPP and what he's done. We know about his sacks in previous years, but he's also very good against the run. And so you look at how the defense did last night versus the run. They improved it. Was that because JPP was in there for 46 of those defensive snaps? I gotta tip my hat to that. That's probably why. Jasper Brinkley was another reason why. This young man came in here and played his butt off yesterday. He had a forced fumble recovery, had seven tackles. I mean, the guy was all over the place. After coming back and starting last week and really, in my opinion, not doing a very good job at what he did last week, a lot of missed assignments. But you know what? When you're asking him to be the quarterback of that defense after not having to do it, because you really, when you think about when Beeson's been out of lineup, Unga's been in there. He's been the guy that's been making all the calls. Well, now Unga is inactive for this game, and Brinkley starts again, and, you know, he's getting a little more experience at it. So that's nice to see. It's nice to see some consistent personnel in the game, which is helping this defense.
Well, that's an example of a guy stepping up in
yeah,
place
you
of guys
always
who
hear
injured.
That. The next
Correct.
Man up.
Exactly.
Next man up. You
Beeson
know?
Goes on IR. Unga's inactive. Brinkley's now the third string middle
no
linebacker
that's
and made heads up plays.
Yeah, that's you know, you like to see that because that's all the guys talk about, and you can talk about it all you want, but when you got to do it. And these guys are like, oh, you know, you always have the interviews with the players. Well, now that so-and-so is out of the lineup, what do you see? Well, it's the next man up theory. Well, okay. Well, now you got to go out and play that way. You just can't say it. And I think he backed it up yesterday. That was nice.
Those two fumbles that he was involved in, those were key plays. And as you alluded to earlier, Jeff, the red zone defense is probably the biggest difference maker in a game where Tampa Bay goes 1-for-4 in the red zone. Four opportunities, including the last drive of the first half, which I think was so important, an opportunity for Tampa Bay to cut even further into the deficit, knowing they get the ball back in the third quarter because they deferred on the opening coin
right.
toss.
Right, yeah, because, you know, that's the trend, and people like to do it. But the Giants make a nice stop there, and, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers can't capitalize on that opportunity because, really, when you think if they go in there and score a touchdown there and then get the ball back in the second half, ifs and buts for candies and nuts. We start talking about all that stuff. As we get closer to holiday season, I guess we can start using that terminology.
Absolutely. Setting the tone nice and early.
Yeah.
For the giving season. Defense, though, overall, as we mentioned, key stops when they need it the most, regardless of the yardage. And I know a lot of people are going to note, well, wait a minute, you know, the Giants defense is still giving up a lot of big plays. And that was evident yesterday, Jeff. Mike Evans with the 68-yarder, Charles Sims with the 59-yard run. You know, that was obviously a deadly one. Fortunately, the Giants defense did respond when they needed to, but that has been a trend. The number of pass plays for 20-plus yards, they came into the game with 34 that they surrendered. Mike Evans tacked on another one, which is up there in the top five in the NFL.
And those are busted plays. Those are assignment errors. Those are mental errors. When you see what happened with Colson last week on the touchdown that Drew Brees threw to him, wide open, walked 40 yards into the end zone. That's a blown coverage, mental error. You saw it again yesterday on two times with Evans, the long play, and then the run by Sims. Both of those are just, you know, people being out and not getting in their alignment and their assignments and knowing the situations and everything. They just, you know, the one run by Sims, there had to be five missed tackles on that play too. So, you know, don't cough it up to everything about mental errors. It's tackling errors too. Then you have penalties. You know, really the Bucs shot themselves in the foot with some of the penalties they had yesterday, especially in the fourth quarter when Lovie Smith just yanks that lineman out of the game.
Yeah, the unnecessary roughness penalty.
I mean, and so that really was a big penalty for them. Once again, we get DeMontre Moore with his, his eyes are just looking straight down. He does not see what he hits every time. I don't get how he can't understand. There's timing there. There's got to be, it's like a sixth sense for a defensive lineman. Just like, you know, you always have those six senses in football. Punters have them. Quarterbacks have them. They know that you can see or feel somebody that's close without even ever seeing them. You just kind of have that sense. I got to think that when you're a defensive lineman, that you got to have that sixth sense that you're okay, the ball's gone now. Don't hit the guy.
Let go and come to a halt.
Yeah. So, you know, but defensively, you know, those are, you got mental errors, you got big plays against you. But when they got down into the red zone, they tightened up, and you got to give them kudos for that.
those are certainly some of the things that you want to emphasize in a game like this. Cleaning up aspect is more about not surrendering the big plays. However, with that being said, you take away that Charles Sims 59-yard run, and we talked about this on the radio postgame show last night, Jeff. The Giants' defensive numbers against the run, not bad at all. Tampa Bay did finish with 23 carries for 136 yards, 6 yards per carry, but you eliminate that 59-yard run. Doug Martin, only 31 yards. Jameis Winston did have the rushing touchdown, but they at least flushed him out of the pocket. They contained him for the most part.
Yeah, you don't want to, I mean, that's, you can count that as a rush. Obviously, you have to, but really the main guy was Doug Martin. Stop him. Well, they did that. They gave up a big play on the long run. So you take that 6-yard average minus the 59-yard run. I mean, you know, they did a nice job at stopping the run, and something that this defense was able to do early in the season, but the last 2 or 3 weeks they have not been able to do it. I mean, they give up over 250 yards rushing. Was it 250 against the Cowboys?
Against the Cowboys, yes. It was well over
200. I think it was, yeah. I mean, or something like that, but that's a lot. I mean, come on. So, you know, they tightened that up, and now you're moving forward, and you're going to maybe hopefully get some players back after the bye coming up here soon. So bottom line is this team went on the road. They got a win. It wasn't pretty, but it doesn't matter. You got the win, and now you're sitting in first place. You're a half a game ahead of the Eagles, who won last night. So, listen, you got a tough, tough opponent coming in here Sunday, but we'll get into that later in the week. But, you know, this is the Giants just got to keep stay with what they're doing.
And real quickly, from the offensive standpoint, before we get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513, Eli Manning did have the 2 interceptions. One was off the very first play of the game, which, you know, speaks volumes about what the defense did, Jeff, because if Tampa Bay capitalizes there, all of a sudden that swings momentum, and you're right, they're up by a touchdown.
7-0, and I mean, not only are you going, oh my gosh, you got to be kidding me, the first play, and then if they pop a 7 points on you, you know, so, yeah, the defense did. That was a nice, nice stop by them in that first quarter. Tip pass interception off of Beckham was thrown a little bit behind him. But the defense goes out there and holds them, and they get a field goal. And they go down 3-0, which is manageable. 7-0 is a little harder. You know, so
Odell Beckham, 9 catches, 105 yards on 17 targets. They got him heavily involved. That was not an issue in this game compared to maybe some other games.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that's what you're going to see. I mean, you have to get the ball to Odell. I mean, he's going to make plays for you. You know, for everybody that's watching the game last night, you just see what type of a competitor this guy is. I mean, he wants to win so bad. I mean, he was taking it all on himself on that interception that Eli threw to
Alteron Verner.
Yeah, Verner.
Who got the interception.
You know, that was just a good play. I mean, that guy made a great – he just broke on the ball, and it was, you know, Eli staring Beckham down, but I don't think it was anything that Beckham did. I mean, he thought he did it because he went and hit – now, listen, I don't have yet to be a rocket scientist to know that if you make a living with your hands, please stop hitting things. You know, like the Gatorade. Don't do that. Please don't do that. I mean, if anything, just have – just kick it or something. You know, just don't – do anything with your hands. That's not
protect the most valuable piece of the body.
So just be smart, and you know those are things that young players will learn over time. That you have to be able to control your emotions on the sidelines, because they'll get to you. Your emotions will get to you, and the longer you play in the league, the more you're going to know that you have to let things go, and that this is a team sport. It's not only one person. Everybody makes mistakes, and just got to control those emotions. And then I always felt that when I had a bad kick, I wanted to hit the Gatorade cooler. I wanted to kick the equipment guy. I wanted to hit the water boy. But I soon learned that really isn't going to do anything.
Other than
hurt yourself. And so you have to channel that emotion into the next play, if you will. So that's kind of how I learned to take it into the next kick and take out my aggressions on that. And but that's what these young players will soon have to learn. But Odell Beckham just continues to be the guy, and Eli loves him. Eli has 17 targets. Man.
Well, he's a security blanket. He made that key third down conversion on that last drive to help Josh Brown get the field goal.
And when you think about the Giants, and you know, with Larry Donnell being out of the lineup, you had Cunningham come in here and make a couple plays. Will Tye is a guy that was just off the practice squad. These are young guys. I just can't imagine that if Eli had the presence of a tight end on this football team like a Boss or a Ballard or the guys like that that they've had in the past where reliable, good blockers, good players. And imagine having like a Gronkowski in or some, you know, or a Graham on or that type of a tight end in this offense. I mean, talk about a safety blanket.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Well, between that tight end, Vereen, Beckham.
Oh, yeah.
What I mean, Randall and Harris have brought to the table, you provide more flexibility
sure,
and more weapons to
sure,
spread
but
things
I,
out.
Yeah, I mean, in this offense, you know, they didn't put up, you know, the numbers that they did the week before. They're not going to do that all the time anyways. But this offense, better on third down.
9 of 16.
Rushed the ball better yesterday. You know, Eli had a couple of mistakes, but, you know, they certainly have the weapons, and once Victor Cruz comes back, that's going to help everything too. Because now you got a Dwayne Harris; it's still pretty good. You got Reuben Randall getting healthier. I don't know if he's getting healthier. I mean, it just seems like it this bye week will help someone like him. It really will.
This way, they'll practice more and get in sync with Eli Manning during the week. That certainly has helped with Beckham. Two numbers I want to throw out, piggybacking off of some of the points you brought up: 12 runs for 5 yards or more in this contest. That was a season high for the Giants.
Okay.
Then
good.
The other notable stat, 9 of 16 on third down, 9 downs for 5 yards or less that they faced. That's the key. The third and manageables, it makes the offense be able to rely on the running
game.
Well,
that's where that comes from. Those 5 yards or more, the
carries. Because you ran the football, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
It goes hand in hand.
It just makes play calling so much easier when you have 2nd and 6 or, you know, 2nd and 4, 3rd and 2, okay? Yeah, you can run, pass, you can do whatever you want on 3rd and 2. When you got 3rd and 9, I'm sorry, the defense knows you're passing or you're going to run the stupid draw or screen. Those are the things you, as a defensive player, you understand. 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, that's where you got to be on your cues, on your P's and Q's. Okay, they can run, they can pass here, they can do whatever. So
you remain unpredictable.
Yeah, and you know what,
goal.
Really, when you think about the Buccaneers, that has been their bread and butter. They've gotten into a lot of – they were really good on third down because they didn't have a lot of yards to go. They had 3rd and 3, 3rd and 2 because they were making hay on their runs in the run game, the 1st and 2nd downs with Doug Martin. So, you know, I thought they got away from their run game a little bit yesterday at no fault of their own because you really, when you think about this defense, you would think that a guy like Jameis Winston could come in and throw the ball all over the place, which he attempted to do yesterday, by the way. Mike Evans dropped 6 balls. He still caught however many for 150 yards. I mean, he could have easily been over 200 yards receiving.
Easily. And he could have had about 7 more catches.
I mean, so – you know, I kind of see where the Buccaneers were coming from there. We're trying to say, hey, well, we can throw the ball a little bit, but we can still rely on our running game a little bit. But the Giants took that away.
And they even tried to get the running backs involved in the passing game, and you had drop passes between Sims and Martin, too. So it was a headache all along and all over the place for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code New York to play for free today. One last note, Jonathan Hankins, torn pectoral muscle. Tom Coughlin will have a conference call later today to perhaps update his status. But right now, it's a game of unknown. And you pointed this out, Jeff, whether it's the muscle or the tendon, it's hard to speculate whether it could be season-ending or maybe a few weeks at this point.
Yeah, it's either the tear or a pull. So a tear is worse than a pull. It's just a matter of where it's at and, you know, sounds gruesome, but, you know, where it is on the bone, you know, where your pec attaches. And so, you know, nothing will be – it won't be diagnosed until he gets an MRI and the doctors look at it. But, you know, really when you think about – that's a significant injury.
Huge.
For this defense. Because Hankins is he's pretty much one of your better players inside. And now what happens too is that because you had Bromley and Hankins able to anchor and Kuhn in that middle, you were able to move Cullen Jenkins to the outside. Well, you're not going to be able to move Jenkins to the outside anymore because now Jenkins is going to have to stay inside because the depth is not.
But there. I guess on the flip side, you get JPP back, so at least you have somebody else you
too,
can use on the outside.
Right.
At least that gives you some flexibility. But we'll probably know more later today or in the next few days with respect to Hankins.
But really, coming out of the game, I think that was the only injury as of note to have to pay attention to. Other than that, I think the Giants came out of there pretty good.
Absolutely.
Mean, that's not coming out of the game pretty good. You lost a starter yesterday. But, you know, only one player getting hurt, I guess, is pretty good.
Let's open up the phone lines here at 201-939-4513. Alongside Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadows. So glad you could join us for Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Chris gets us going in Syracuse. Chris, what's happening?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good,
doing
man.
Well, Chris.
What's up, Chris?
What do you got?
Good. Still didn't get my rushing touchdown, but I got
me
a couple
either.
Things.
I said it in our pregame yesterday. I said I would love to get, you know, a rushing touchdown. We're still waiting, Chris. We're still waiting.
Yeah, we are still waiting. There's just a bunch of points I wanted to make, and then I guess I'll hop off. But one of them is you guys already touched on some of these, but excuse me, the Montre Moore thing. I have just had it with this guy. I really have. I'm fed up with it. And, you know, we hear about poor football IQ. That's like saying you got an English teacher that doesn't understand grammar to have an NFL player, in my opinion, that just repeatedly, it's every game, every time. And, you know, it's I feel like it's cost us momentum, potentially cost us some games. And, you know, another point that you made is, like, Evans didn't drop a couple of those balls. It could have cost us the game yesterday because I think he had a couple touchdowns, one down on the right side there, but Winston hit him in the hip there, and he just dropped it, you know. But luckily it did go our way. Hankins there, that's a big loss potentially. And were you guys going to say something, or I don't want to just keep talking?
No, I'm sorry. I'm disagreeing with your points, absolutely. I mean, that you know, not only that, Doug Martin dropped some passes too. So
All around.
They were dropping them left and right. It must have been too hot and sweaty there for those guys.
And
were they
the rain, too, or whatever it may have been. The weather. I know Eli mentioned that the weather impacted him a little bit because the ball was so slick. But, you know, I would agree with your sentiments there in terms of the drops. If those catches were made, that could change the narrative of this story. The positive is the Giants did make the stops in the red zone around those drops. But if the drops don't take place, this game becomes that much more interesting down the stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. And just real quick, a couple other points I want to make on the offensive side. I like a lot of what I'm seeing. You know, I could get a little critical of Reuben Randle like anybody else. My criticism is a little different. It seems like Randall's got two routes. He's got a slant route, and he's got that curl route. And I am just waiting for somebody to jump that curl route and pick it, because I swear to God, it's like I see that he hits that curl route like three or four times a game. So I just hope that, you know, that doesn't get keyed in on. And hopefully, you know, we can pick it up and become that offensive juggernaut, because, you know, with the defense here, I can't make up my mind how I feel about the defense. On one hand, like, I'm pretty disappointed, but on the other hand, like, I feel Spags has done a great job because he's, like, trying to make a silk shirt out of a sow's ear.
And, that's the truth.
You know, and somehow they're getting turnovers and stuff like that. So, you know, it's just a bunch of points I wanted to bring up, but I'll get going here.
All right, Chris. Well, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in.
And we talked about this on our postgame a little bit. You know, there's no better word to define this defense as they are the bend but don't break. They really, I mean, consider what they do. Man, do they bend. They bend all over the place. But I'll tell you what, they keep you in games. They get turnovers. And you got an offense that can keep up with the other team in when they're bending. It's just ridiculous. But, I mean, these guys play hard. Their effort is there. Every coach will tell you that, you know, I'll take 11 guys that are giving me the max effort, opposed to, you know, these guys that are, I got to have that, and that's what's helping this defense. I think the Prince coming back will do a lot for this secondary. Landon Collins continues to be a rookie. Yesterday, I don't know what he was thinking about on the play that
Mike Evans play for 68 yards.
I don't know where. But that's just a rookie mistake. He's made them all year. He's going to be a good player. We just, you know, it's patience. It's patience. And the only way these guys get better is for them to play. And so you got to understand that, you know, we're going to criticize them, but you got to get experience. There's no substitute for experience. This is the year that he's going to get it. Next year, he's going to have a whole year under his belt. The whole game is going to slow down for him a little bit. And hopefully he can learn from this season of ups and downs, because he's been a good player, but there's times when you scratch your head and you say, oh, yep, he's a rookie. That's how he plays. And that's just how a lot of guys play. But really, when you think of DRC and Prince on the corners, those guys are – if you have those guys in the lineup, it helps your the passing defense and it helps your run too, because they're both good tacklers.
Especially Prince, who's known also for his run-stopping ability, just like JPP is known. You're getting guys back that should help improve stopping the run. And the other aspect that I'll throw in there in terms of the defense and sometimes the inconsistencies and personnel being in and out, how about the linebackers, Jeff? This is now the second straight game, at least, that you had Brinkley in the middle, and you had Casillas on the outside, and you also had Kennard on the outside. Now, JT Thomas is eventually going to come back, but you know, as the game of musical chairs continues to play out, that also impacts continuity. Amongst those three players.
I've been saying that the whole time, that this is why it's very difficult to put a game plan together when you say, okay, I've got this personnel in there. Well, this guy's good at stopping the run, and he's fast. Well, now I got another guy who's not as fast but not as good at stopping the run. So it compromises the way you put your game plan together. I want to go with pressure this week. Well, guess what? I don't have guys or personnel in there that have the speed to get there. So that's out the window. Against a quarterback who's a rookie, who I'd love to put pressure in front of his face because he reacts to that and we could force him into some mistakes. Well, I don't have it. I don't have it on the back end. I'm starting Jerron Hosley and Trevin Wade are my corners. I don't have a Prince in there, okay? So this is what happens with this defense. And listen, I'm not making an excuse for them. I'm really not. I'm just trying to understand it and get people to understand why it is happening and why aren't we doing this. Now, I don't have an answer, so don't call in and ask me. I don't have an answer for the pass rush. I really don't. 9 sacks in 9 games, okay? That's dead last in the National Football League. It was dead last going in last week. I don't have the answer for that other than JPP coming back. They saw how he played last night. That's going to help this defensive line because people are going to have to start thinking, okay, well, you know what? The jury was out on JPP. He played pretty good last night. All right, we're going to have to pay a little more attention to this guy.
So. Well, but if there's a silver lining, and listen, you do want to see more sacks. It goes without saying. Nobody's going to argue that, but 9 quarterback hits compared to even the number of hits
that
they've been getting. That's how many
they
finished with yesterday.
Okay, then
that to me is a step in the right direction.
That is a big step. I didn't know that stat. So I think that, that's definitely a step in the right direction. And we can hang your hats on sacks all you want. But really, you're right. You know, quarterback hits sometimes can be just as good as sacks because they make a bad play. You know, but I'd like to see some sacks in there so that we can get some negative plays out of the opposing offense and the possibility of maybe another strip sack, fumble, something like that, you know. So, and momentum. There's no bigger play than a sack. Think about the momentum you get as a defense when your defensive lineman or a linebacker or a safety makes a sack. You lose the yardage depending on what the down is. It could be a critical situation in the game. Momentum swinger. Sacks are a huge play. They're big plays. We've got to have more of those out of that defense.
Let's head back to the phone lines. Abdul is in Minneapolis. Abdul, what's happening?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
So first thing, this a win's a win. I'm very happy.
Good.
Okay?
We want to make
Get
you happy.
Out of the way. Get that cleared out. But this win reminds me a lot of the win against the Redskins. We are lucky to come out with a win because, as you said, you know, the best defensive player on the field all day was Evan's hands. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, they were – Yeah,
they contributed.
He dropped a lot of first downs, maybe a couple of touchdowns. Also, that one wheel route to the running back he just dropped.
Charles Sims.
That could have gone a long way. So, but you know what? It didn't happen. Now the Bucs fans know how we feel.
Sure.
You know,
yeah, right.
With bad penalties and drop passes and stuff. You know, sometimes it happens to us. Sometimes it happens to the other team. That's football. Second thing, I'm so excited that the Jasper Brinkley that I saw playing for the Vikings a few years ago finally showed up. I was waiting for him to be that player, and I'm glad that he did, and I'm glad that he made an impact because I knew it was in him. I was just waiting for that to show up. Took some time for him to get his head in the playbook and stuff, and just get acclimated once again to be a starter.
Well, you got to give it a little bit to the coaches there too. You know, take a guy like that who, you know, had a lot of promise, as you know, being up there in Minnesota. You know, really he got demoted down to being a really good special teams player, but not so much of a starter or a linebacker. Well, now he comes in here and now he's starting and making an impact. So that's good.
Yeah, you know, and I really hope that he starts over Unga. Nothing Unga's not good enough, but I think he He's got more experience. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think he sees things faster.
Well, and keep in mind, Unga's not 100% healthy, too. So I think that helps Brinkley's cause as well.
But I think either way, when they're both healthy, I agree with you on there. I think that Brinkley brings a little more experience. I think he's a little more. And like I said before, there's no substitutes for that experience. So.
And continuity. You know, we just need to have the same person, that. Same voice, same eyes. Just get some continuity going on the defense. And third thing is I'm really excited to see Beedy come back and hopefully play well and supplant Newhouse because our offense is dying for a double move. People are starting to jump on our routes. And if we could just have some allow Eli to pump fake and just do a little more time,
well, especially, was it you the one that said about Randall and being he has two moves? Was that you?
That was a previous caller.
The previous caller. That curl. All right. Well, your point's well taken. If you have a little bit of extra time, that curl now becomes a stutter go. That's over the top touchdown.
And
so
these guys, you know, with a couple of interceptions that people have, like, even I know the slant's coming. You know, sometimes it's just a timing call. It's hard to protect sometimes, but sometimes you jump that route and you fake that pump and you go and, you know, see you later. And remember, I called on Friday and I completely forgot what I was going to ask.
Yes, I remember that. Yes.
I was wondering who we should have rooted for, the Eagles or rooted for, whatever the word is, Eagles or the Cowboys.
Yeah, we've had that discussion.
At one point, you want the Cowboys to be, you know, like just staked in the heart, dead, because they have potential to come back. But now the Eagles are a half game behind us. You know, we have two undefeated teams coming up, plus the Vikings on our schedule. They don't, you know, they have a bunch of home games. So I was kind of conflicted about who I wanted, you know, not to sound too morose, but last game was almost a perfect game for the Giants when they played. Romo got hurt, and the Eagles won or lost, something like that. So we kind of both won.
I got you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at it from the perspective, you're now only a half game up, whereas if the Cowboys would have won, you would have had potentially a two-game cushion, at least in terms of the loss column. So you can look at it from that perspective. At the end of the day, the Giants can still control their own destiny, and they can control their own destiny with the Eagles as opposed to the Cowboys, who they don't play anymore. So I look at it as Philly beating Dallas, you know, pushes Dallas further into the basement, and at least you know you still have another game with the Eagles if week 17 had to determine the division. You still control your own destiny, whereas you can't control anything with Dallas anymore because you don't play them.
Which is probably, when you think of the way that things are going, it's probably that week 17 game against the Eagles. They'll probably be flexing it tomorrow.
They're already predicting the future.
That might be the biggest game of the of the season for both teams.
It's a tough schedule, and they have the second toughest schedule, the Giants.
Yes,
the rest of the way. This is no picnic, and a lot of the teams are going to be in the playoff hunt.
You know, you never know. But that's all I get up here as the Vikings, and their defense is looking. You know, Linval Joseph. Why did we get rid of that dude?
Yeah, they just
For Beeson. You know, we could have. We chose Beeson over Lindvall. It happened.
Well, Abdul, I don't necessarily look at it from that perspective. I look at it from the perspective of you had drafted Hankins to replace Linval Joseph, just like Linval Joseph replaced Cofield. I mean, that track record had been in place for years. It wasn't as if the Giants adopted a new philosophy. I don't look at it as you sacrificed Linval Joseph to get John Beeson. It was more of, hey, we developed a rookie who's on a rookie contract, who is just as good and has a high ceiling, and that's who's going to replace the free agent. They did the same thing with Joseph and Cofield.
All right, well, anyway, so I hope Hankins' tear is not too bad and he gets back in a few weeks, and I think that's all I got. Thanks, guys.
All right, Abdul.
Appreciate
the phone call.
Thanks so
much for weighing in. Let's continue to move through these calls. Big Ed is in Maryland. Big Ed, what's happening?
What's up?
How we doing,
Lance? And I got the Jeffies. How are y'all doing today?
Good, we're doing well, Big Ed.
What's going on?
Oh, I'm going to address one little sweet little thing. Lance, don't ever do that again. Eli will always throw for three, even when it don't seem like he'll throw for more than 300 yards. He will throw more than 300 yards. Give him the opportunity, he'll do it.
Okay, I lost your Big Ed. Where are you going with that? What was that in reference to?
Our over-under.
Over-under.
Well,
Lance said that Eli wouldn't throw over 300 yards, and I'm like, what?
Come on, Ed. We can't hit on him every week.
You're talking about the Saints game, Big Ed?
Yeah, just a little bit, just a little bit.
Oh, okay, because remember, I mean, he wasn't even in the 300 ballpark in his last game.
I know, because of what was going on. It was the strategy of the game. It wasn't going to happen like that.
Just they ran
like
the ball.
Game
yeah.
coming up. Okay, we're talking about the Patriots.
Yep.
You already know
undefeated
what we got to do
Patriots.
To beat the Patriots. It's simple. You got to get in Tom Brady's face. And that's what makes me think question of the day.
How?
Who was the last team to beat the Patriots? And then what did they do to beat them?
Well, I don't – you got to go back last year.
Right, of course.
I don't even know who it is, but I know the answer. The answer is
exactly.
Get
you
in his face.
You got to get in Tom Brady's face.
But the
you
answer,
give him pressure.
In my mind,
don't give him pressure.
Big
if Ed. You're not in his face.
How?
We're in trouble.
How?
How do we get in his face?
Yes.
Unga. As long as healthy, let him split.
Just
you
run.
You got to either safety blitz him
okay.
or you got a linebacker blitz him. But it has to be a delay blitz. It can't be something that he sees. It can't be something that he accounts for. Because any little inkling of anything that accounts for, he's going to torture us.
See, the
and
toughest
that's what
thing.
Showed, even with Winston and even with Drew Brees the last couple of weeks, the moment you let the offense know what you're doing on defense, we are losing.
But let me ask you this.
We
Big
can
Ed.
Give them a different look, especially in the second half. Give them a total different look than he saw in the first. We got a chance.
You, but listen to me.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Okay, Unga, mm-hmm. whoever can get up there. Have you seen lately how fast that Tom Brady gets the ball out of his hands
yes.
these days? Come on.
Yes.
How are we going to get there?
He's less than 3 seconds.
Less than.
We cannot.
He's like less than 2 seconds
it's hard
sometimes.
To match that.
Yeah.
The only other thing we could do is man to man.
Man to man jam. It rhymes.
I know, but see, them that hurts us because Prince ain't in there. Yeah, if we got Prince and D.
Well, he may come back this week.
He may come
back. Don't rule him out.
So
Big Ed, there's a chance.
Now
there's a chance Prince comes back this week.
There's a chance. I mean, he was close this week, but if he comes back next week, the jam is on because Prince and DRC, and you get some help over the top.
Yes.
But you're going to have to take care. You're going to have to take care of those two. You're going to have to take care of those two little dudes, man. They are all over the place.
Yeah, Edelman and Amendola.
I mean, those guys are like two little trolls running out from under the bridge every single time.
Cruz and Beckham at the same time.
Yeah.
We get it.
Well, it's a dink and dunk type of philosophy.
Yeah. There's,
Big Ed, no, I understand where you're coming from. And listen, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. But I would agree with Jeff. I don't know if you can go into next weekend, Jeff, saying all of a sudden you're going to get 5 or 6 sacks when you have none in the last two games combined.
Well, you have nine
other
in the
ways.
Whole season.
Yeah, you make stops.
And that's why these coaches, this is their job to come up with game plans to try to figure out something. I don't know. You don't see a lot of big plays in the passing game, deep stuff for out of the Patriots. I mean, every time we go to the highlights films, Gronkowski might be catching a deep slant over the middle, but it's Amendola. It's those guys that are catching the little quick stuff. Okay, so you got to come up with something there, and they're going to run the football.
With Garrett Blunt.
But the other thing is we're kind of going into New England's strategy here is that. The Giants offensively can be just as powerful as New England's offense can be. We know that. So something's going to give there. And, if the defense can play halfway decent, the Giants can put up some big numbers, they can win the game. The Giants, they have this ability, as we know, to beat the Patriots in all weird ways. And maybe this is one of those games where no one's going to pick the Giants. No one. There will be no one that picks the Giants. And maybe this is just exactly what they need. They come in there and talk about carrying them through the rest of the season, going into a bye with a win off of an undefeated team. Hey, it happens. The Colts, who are the Colts? The Colts are horrible. They go in and they beat Dallas.
Denver.
I mean, excuse me, beat Denver. They were undefeated, right? So, I mean, what are the Colts? Well, they had 3 wins coming into this thing.
Yeah, 3 wins. Now they have 4. Yeah.
So, I mean, anything can happen here. These undefeated teams are going to get beat. Obviously, it's only happened twice in the history of the National Football League that two teams have gone undefeated. So you got to think someone's going to lose. Who knows? We'll see what happens.
Well, we're going to talk a lot about the Patriots the rest of the week, but I'll say this. When these two teams go up against one another, it tends to be an offensive game. And I think this spells out offense again. And to me, the best way that you beat Tom Brady, Jeff, you keep him off the field. And that means that the offense has to be in sync, well-disciplined, win time of possession, long, lengthy drives, and take the pressure off your defense. That, to me, is the best philosophy. And then you don't have to worry about, have we gotten to Brady enough? Did we stop this entity? Let your offense set the tone. That's what they have to do.
It'll be fun to talk about this matchup this week. And you got two Hall of Fame coaches going to go against each other. Tom Coughlin is very good against Bill Belichick. And, you know, so he'll have something up his sleeve to try to get this team going.
Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. Let's head back to the phone lines. Uh-oh, Charlie is in Maine.
Charlie alert.
Hey, gentlemen, how y'all doing?
Well, we could be better, but what do you got?
Hey, I got a name for our defense.
Uh-oh.
I think we should call it the Gumby defense.
The Gummy?
You know?
The Gumby. Gumby.
Oh, Gumby, yes.
Remember that old cartoon?
Yeah, yeah, we
remember. But don't break, the Gumbies. Yeah, the little
you
green guy.
All over the place, but
I love
played.
Gumby. He was awesome. Gumby and Pokey. Yeah,
Pokey was the other character. Right.
Pokey was the horse.
Back in the archives.
The
horse. Yeah, that's right. He was the horse. Let's see. I think there's two things that we should do. First thing we should do, which we won't, is bring in Wes Welker for this game. I would sign this guy in a heartbeat. He would ball out. He would love to go against the Patriots. I would bring him in and play him this week.
All right.
We need a SWAT guy. We don't have one.
Let's put you on speed dial. Hold on. We're going to put you on speed dial to Jerry Reese's office. Here, we got it right here. Okay. You ready, Charlie?
I'd like to talk to him. I really would. But anyway. And the other thing is, I bring in a crazy, bad, donkey D-tackle like Radcliffe. I bring him in. Just to wreak havoc. This guy's got a bunch of chips on his shoulder, probably in his head, too. But he would ball out. He would be mean. He would be great for our team.
All right, so we're bringing two new guys in. Who are the two guys that are
and
leaving?
And they're going to learn the playbook, by the way, in the span of about 3 days.
Hankins is probably out anyway.
Okay.
You're going to need another D-tackle, so you may as well bring him in. And the thing is, with Welker, you bring Welker in, you put Miles back on the practice squad. You don't need him.
All right,
anyway.
There you go, Charlie
you go,
GM.
Right?
Okay, I just wanted answers.
He's got it all spelled out.
All right, good.
And another thing is, if we can't get sacks on Brady, he has no offensive line. He's got about four guys who are on injured reserve, for God's sake. They were playing a friggin' tight end as an offensive tackle. If we can't go in there and wreak havoc on Brady, then we should not even play the game. How this guy gets away with playing behind a makeshift offensive line is beyond me.
Well, he gets rid of the football quickly, though.
No, they ran the ball. That's how they
beat Washington. But the combination of both factors, though, Charlie, that's the answer.
And what else do you do when somebody throws the ball out quickly?
You try to bat it down.
And you put your hands up.
Yeah.
Put your hands up. Coon can't put his hands up because he can't lift his arms that high. He only can lift them on his elbow. All he could get was a sidearm pass. That's the only thing he could not have.
Sidearm pass.
Charlie, can I ask you a question? Did you check out Ratliff's scouting report, whether or not he can lift his hands up high enough? Because, I mean, that's a big assumption on your part.
Yes.
No, but he doesn't have to because he'll get
so he's the exception to
that's
the rule. Okay.
Different.
There we go.
All right.
I see. An oversight on my part.
Yeah, and I'm glad that we found a middle linebacker. I was on Brinkley's case when I saw him in preseason playing with Dallas. I saw him two games, and he was balling out. The guy can hit. He only played 14 snaps in the Saints game. They finally let him play a whole game. Now you can see what he can do. He's a great backup for Beeson. He is our middle linebacker, and they better keep him there because this guy can play. He's a vet. He's smart, and I think he will solidify that middle. So I'm looking forward to this game. I hate the Patriots. I hate their fans. And I want to see.
Got a lot of hate in them.
Well, he's up in Maine. He's close to them up there.
I'm stunned. Charlie actually threw
out
a
compliment. Over.
Wait a minute. Can we not overlook the fact that Charlie just threw out a compliment to a player on the roster? The pigs must be flying up in Maine today.
They're all over the place. Look out.
My goodness.
They got to eventually come down, so be careful.
Yes. You sure you're okay? You sure you're okay, Charlie? Okay. Yep. Just want to make sure.
The best thing to do, Brady gets rattled when he plays us, and Eli's going to have a big game. I mean, their defense is not that good. They're only good because because Brady puts up a million friggin' points. We can score on this defense. We can score big with our wide receivers. So,
Charlie, you know what I think you should do? I think you should take a trip down to New England, out in front of Foxborough Stadium there, Gillette Stadium, get your bullhorn on, and get and just while Tom Brady is going to practice every day, just set it out there and say, I'm Charlie from Maine. I'm a Giants fan. We're coming to get you. You know it, Tom Brady.
Yeah, I know. And then the Patriots fans will come and get me.
Yeah, they'll come and get you.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Don't do that then. Okay.
Yeah, no, because we couldn't live without your phone call every week, Charlie.
Yeah, we need to look forward to you calling the show
every week. Charlie, always good chatting with you.
Thank
appreciate
you, Charlie.
The phone call.
Thank you, guys.
Charlie, always with his million different ideas.
As much as Charlie makes our day, hopefully we make your day too, Charlie, by – you know, you kind of bring a little, you bring something to the show. We like it.
Absolutely. He brings some comic relief and somebody that we can throw some more material at. But in all seriousness, you know, Brinkley, he has gotten more playing time. He's taken advantage of his playing time. And he may not be a household name, but as we've emphasized, he's got veteran experience. He's been with the Vikings. He's been with the Cowboys. He's not necessarily a familiar player within the Giants community because this is his first year with the team. But you know, he's had plenty of reps under his belt, whether it be on special teams or as a linebacker.
And you got to start to understand how all this new personnel works in a way that there's a trickle-down effect. And what gets hurt in personnel moves, whether demotions, promotions, whatever you want to call it, guys getting hurt and in and out of games, who takes the brunt of it is the special teams, because these guys are special teams players. You look at Castillas and you look at JT Thomas, you look at those linebackers. All these guys play special teams. As they start moving into the starting roles, their role diminishes on special teams. You got to find somebody to replace that type of production. So Tom Quinn has his hands full every week of trying to find these guys. And
it's the same thing with Dwayne Harris, by the way, too.
Exactly. So, I mean, just understand that as a fan, when you see things happening with the personnel, you got to know that there's a trickle-down effect in where it affects other parts of the team.
That's a great point. That's why injuries, it's not just defense and offense, it's who also contributed and chipped into special teams.
Yep.
Let's head back to the phone lines here at 201-939-4513. Ramel is in Chicago. Ramel, what's happening?
Hey, Ramel.
Hey, how you doing?
Ronnell.
Y'all mess up my name.
Oh, Ronnell.
You know
what?
It's Brian, our board operator. He doesn't know how to spell.
Our apologies, Ronnell. So what's happening?
R-O-N-E-L-L.
All right, let's start over. Hey, we have Ronnell.
Ronnell. How we doing, Ronnell?
Hey. How you doing?
There we go. All right. Do over.
Hey, no, I wanted to say one thing, because I think everybody overlooks this. I think that we should bring back Chase Blackburn.
Hey, not a bad idea.
I know people are going to look at me like I'm crazy.
I'm not going
to
look at you like crazy.
Petition to bring back Chase Blackburn. You know what's so funny? We won the 07 Super Bowl. He was there. He left. He came back at the middle of the season for the 011 Super Bowl, and he made a humongous play against Gronkowski in the Super Bowl. Do you all remember that?
Yes, do remember that. He got in front of him for the interception. Yeah. He also made a big play on Aaron Rodgers, too, when he returned.
That's our lucky charm. He is our lucky charm.
All right. Well, you know what? Again, speed dial, call the coach Jerry Reese up there.
Well, I mean, the thing is, Ronnell, you got to keep this.
I know what you're talking about.
The Giants always do their due diligence in terms of looking who's out there, just like every other team in the National Football League. But, you know, remember, even if you bring a guy in, he still has to learn the playbook, and it's a different dynamic because you have a different defensive coordinator now. When Chase Blackburn returned,
he played under Stags.
But things have changed and evolved with respect to this defense.
Yeah.
You have to keep that in mind. This is not the 07 and 08 defense, too.
And there comes a time in everybody's career that, you know, it's that time where, you know, you can't play anymore. There's a reason why he's not playing.
Yeah.
So, but it's a good idea. We'll give you that.
All right, Ronnell. Appreciate the phone call.
Ronnell,
thanks so much for.
I'm sorry we messed up your name. It's not Lance and I's fault. It's Brian, our operator. He doesn't know how to spell. He probably
exactly. We like to throw other people under the bus on this program.
Absolutely,
as has been well documented.
Not going to be our fault.
No, not
There's
at all.
No
we didn't do anything. I just try to read the name off the screen.
Uh-uh.
Somebody else can't type. That's not my problem. Moving along, let's try Nugs in Minnesota. Nugs, what's happening?
Now we know Nugs, and we know how to spell Nugs.
Yes.
What's up?
How we doing, Nugs?
I'm all right, man. I love the way y'all threw him up under the bus. Man.
Oh, yeah, he's been – oh, we didn't throw him, man. Lance threw him. I kicked him. I kicked him under the bus.
Nugs, give us some time. We'll throw you under the bus, too, depending on what you have to say.
Yeah, be careful what you ask of
exactly.
Us.
I sleep under the bus, so it's no big deal.
You're used to that area.
What's up?
So what do you have for us, Nugs?
Just a couple things. Just to prove that great minds think alike. In the off season, I said we should bring in Brandon Spikes and Jasper Brinkley to take Beeson's job, and eventually one of those guys matriculated to us. So I'm feeling pretty good about Jasper Brinkley down there. You know, up here in Minnesota, he's a thumper. He's a thumper. So he's a liability in pass coverage. So look out for them tight ends. But that running game, he's definitely a guy that can plug and play.
Well, listen, he plugged and played last week. I mean, against Tampa, he had a fumble recovery, and he also had a forced fumble. So yeah, I mean, he's around the football in the run game. You're right. I don't think. I'm not too excited about any of these linebackers' pass coverage skills. I mean, Thomas is probably supposed to be your fastest guy, but you know, listen, Brinkley's come in. He's done a nice job, at least last week. The first week he started against the Saints, you know, it was just a rough go for him. But he backed it up this week. He certainly did. So that's good to see.
Well, I come from the school of thought myself. I'll take a less athletic guy who's always in the right spot. Athletic guy who's hardly ever in the right spot, because the more athletic guy, he's going to get out of position that much faster. So,
yes.
No, that's a good point.
The thing I want to say about this Patriots game, oh, yeah, and I got this for you, Figs. Remember I called in on Friday and said that Bucs game was a game that we should win?
Yeah,
and
we did.
Schmelt kind of, you know, poo-pooed me, but whatever, you know what I mean? I believe this.
Oh, that's right, because we were talking about that word should've. We or not should've. What was the word?
This Bucs game is a game that we should win, and you said that it's a game we have to win or something like that.
Well, we both of us were correct, by the way.
It's a tie.
Yeah. And so with this Tom Brady coming in, this Tom Brady character coming into town, or we're going to his crib. I say the same scouting report that I say on Manning before Manning had the noodle arm. We know we're not going to get a lot of sacks on him. He gets rid of the ball in under 3 seconds. 2 seconds, the ball's gone. Okay, well, we have to make him get rid of it in 1 second.
I mean, this New England thing, it's making me kind of sick.
You're unsettled.
I don't like them either. I really don't. I just, and really, okay, listen to me. So Aaron Rodgers is the man of the world coming into this. I mean, he's on fire, right? What happened to him to last week? I mean, he played really well this week. He had almost 400 yards passing. There's a time and a place for every quarterback in the National Football League that's going to have a bad day. Think about it, right? I mean, every one of these guys have a bad day one day during the season. Can Tom Brady have a bad day in week 10, please? Is it 10 coming up? It's 10, isn't
it's
it? 10. Week 10.
Right on the nose.
Okay.
Time to have a bad day, Tom Brady. Football gods and time see if they can assist.
It's the Ugg boots. It's the Ugg boots. It's something about, you know, Playboy QB and Ugg boots with the supermodel wife. I mean, you look good. How did Deion say? You got to look good to play good. Well, you know, he's a pretty good-looking guy, so he plays good every day.
Yeah, well, he needs to play like crap this week. You know, we need to put something in his Ugg boots.
No. And in my opinion,
we're really digging deep for
happen,
strategy.
I hope Spags listens to this, but I know he probably doesn't.
Sure.
But I just hope that I hope he's dialing up some A-gap pressure. Tom Brady wants to do what Drew Brees wants to do. He wants to drop back, and then he wants to slide up or slide left or slide right and then give his guys, the little munchkins, a chance to run their little underneath drag routes, because that's all they really do is they run a high-low scheme. So, you know, he's always got somebody coming with that drag route right into his third read. So, you know what I'm saying? We can't give him time for that to develop, just some A-gap pressure, make him roll out. And there we got it. We got an offense that's going to put up 35. It's going to take 35 to beat New England. If we don't put up 35, I would have to say that it's going to be a long night for us.
No, can you see this? Are you watching the show? Or I mean, can you see it? All right, I'm putting you on the board.
Yep.
I'm putting you on the board.
On the board. Wow.
Okay. This Nugs A gap pressure question mark versus Pats.
I have.
You're going on the board.
There we go.
Next week.
Going on the board.
We are going to answer that question only if the team provides the answer. But you're up there, Nugs.
Okay.
We're going to see if we.
Thank you.
If they get the A gap pressure, they have a chance to win this game.
All right, Nugs. Appreciate the phone call. Yep.
Thank you, my
man. We'll pass on the advice. Let's try to squeeze in a few more calls here. James is in Ecuador. James, what's happening? James,
hey,
are you there?
Guys, thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
No problem, James. What do you got?
The telephone connection isn't real good, but I want to run through this, and you can respond after I'm off, okay?
Sure.
Okay. First of all, I was a little disappointed when we talk about closing out a game. I don't think the Giants did that. Yeah, we won, but I don't think we closed out the game like we should. You know, we had like a third and three with a minute and up the middle. We're not going anywhere with the run up the middle. So we're not going to get a first down, and we ended up giving the ball back to our opponent. And we always do that, and we know how that screwed us up, you know, in the previous games. You know, all I'm saying is, if you're going to run the ball, do something that's a little bit more creative than up the middle, because you know you're not going to get it. It's hard enough to get a third and three during the four quarters. That, you know, with time on the clock, giving that to your opponent, you know, that's just not it's not a solution. I think that here's what I'm thinking about the quarterbacks that we've played in the past nine games. We're at 5-4. All the quarterbacks that were wins for us were either like new quarterbacks or second stringers due to injuries. And if you look at them, that's exactly what they are. The quarterbacks that we lost to are stable. They're experienced. And we lost to them. And I'm saying, you can put me on the board, too. I don't want to dilute the board here. but from that perspective, I look at the Giants' remaining schedule, and I give the Giants a 9-7 just based on what's already been happening with the quarterbacks. 9-7, guys. It's not, you know, it's not realistic. I mean, we are who we are. We're getting better. I like it. And certainly whenever we win, I'm happier than hell. But, you know, when I'm looking at these quarterbacks that we play, any quarterback that's worth his salt, that's established, experienced, it seems like we're going to lose to that team.
And all right, I'll tell you one thing, though.
9-7.
9-7.
Please book it on the board.
This team books, okay, 9-7 wins this division. There is no doubt in my mind 9-7 wins this division. 8-8 might even do it, but 9-7 is to me a surefire in the playoffs. You may not be hosting a game, but in fact you're not hosting a game at 9-7, especially the way that some of these teams are playing in the NFC. No way.
Well, 9-7, one of the division winners at three seed and the fourth seed, you'd get at least one home playoff game.
After that, depending on what
happens at the top.
Right.
Yeah.
Jeff, just take a look at the remaining quarterbacks that we're going to be playing.
Well, James, I'm looking at the schedule right now. I'm looking at the schedule. If we go by your rationale, you know, you have Tom Brady next, so you'd put him in the category of well-established quarterbacks. Then you're going to play Kirk Cousins after the bye. Okay, you already beat Kirk Cousins. You're going to have Ryan Fitzpatrick, though it really depends on what happens with the torn ligament in his finger. Then Ryan Tannehill. He's established at this point. He's not a rookie anymore. He's not a young guy. He's been with that team. Cam Newton's established. I wouldn't throw him in the department of a newbie. Teddy Bridgewater, relatively new quarterback if you want to label him that way. And you already lost to Sam Bradford. And some would argue that Sam Bradford is not much established considering all of his injuries. So, I mean, I think some of your categories and titles hold up, but Sam Bradford is in this gray area where he hasn't played enough because of injuries to even be that established at this point.
All right,
Tannehill
9-7.
Is the same way. Tannehill isn't any different.
Yeah. Well, Tannehill's been up and down because of the offensive line, and he's a young guy, too. Yeah. There are question marks connected to those quarterbacks.
The criteria is that he's relatively new. He's not an established, experienced quarterback. And, Lance, you and I only disagree on one, and that's Miami.
I would put in my opinion that there's two quarterbacks in the remaining games that are established in my mind, and that would be Carolina and New England.
Those I agree,
the guys. You know, even though they've been in the league and this and that, they're not in the top 10 in the NFL.
Correct.
You know, I mean, I put Cam Newton in the top 10 in the NFL. I put Tom Brady certainly there. You can't put any of those other quarterbacks in the top 10 there. So.
Well, Cam's established enough that he's worked in his offense long enough to say he's got a good grasp of what they're
and look at what he's doing
do
this year.
Game.
I mean, he's playing pretty darn good. They're undefeated,
and they have
too.
A great defense, too. That's the other thing you can't overlook.
You can never overlook a good defense, period.
Especially what Minnesota brings to the table. And, James, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in. That's the other thing, though. Keep that in mind, using the philosophy of what James just threw out. If you want to take into consideration some of the other quarterbacks that they've beaten, Kirk Cousins, to me, does not have the type of defense that Teddy Bridgewater has in Minnesota. So there's a difference there. In Buffalo, you didn't go up. Well, you went up against Tyrod Taylor. The Buffalo defense on paper is much better than how it's performed this season. So we'll throw that in the middle there. And then, let me see, Jameis Winston, Tampa's defense is nowhere near what Minnesota's defense is. So, I mean, I think sometimes you could go up against a lesser quarterback, Jeff, but keep in mind the other side of the football is going to maybe help balance out some of those shortcomings.
Yeah.
Which is another reason why you can't take some of these games for granted, regardless of who's under center.
No. No, it makes a point. But I will tell you this. I mean, I'm not even going to put this on the board because it's just going to – 9-7 – I think is the division winner is at 9-7 in the NFC East, and you know, for the Giants to get there, they got four out of six games, right? I mean, no, out of seven games.
Seven games left. Yeah.
So they need to win.
They'd
four
have to
out
win
of
four
seven.
Out of seven, correct, to get to 9-7.
If they win, you know, three out of the next seven, that puts them at 8-8. I mean, that's 8-8 might even get you somewhere.
Well, the key game, it goes without saying, at Washington. Divisional game. You got to anticipate, hey, if it comes down to a tiebreaker, Jeff, you aid your cause with your record in the division. And then clearly, if it comes down to week 17, that's going to probably determine the division anyway. So we know that game is important regardless. But to me, if I was to emphasize any of these upcoming games, I think at Washington on November 29th, coming off the bye, is the most important game left on the schedule. In the event it comes down to a tiebreaker, whether it be 8-8, 9-7, however you want to play it out.
Yeah, and they'll have a good 2 weeks to prepare for that game. And you're going to get guys healthy.
Correct.
Coming off. And, you know, we didn't get to talk much about it, but, you know, there has to be a decision made soon on Beatty because they have to, you know, they've got to do this. So once that decision has been made, then what happens with the decision? Where does he go to play? And I think that's something that we'll talk about as we get closer to that scenario. But, you know, does he move into right tackle? Does he not play right away? Does he move to left tackle and Flowers goes to right tackle? I mean, what do you do there? We're certainly going to find out. But, you know, if you're going to bring William Beatty back and paying him the amount of money he is, he's certainly going to go back into here and he's going to play. He's going to be in the starting lineup. So it's just a matter of where they're going to put him.
I want to just throw out one or two tweets on some points about the game, some observations that some of the listeners and viewers have thrown out. Joe throws out that was a great punt by Brad Wing, the 64-yard punt. That
no
certainly
question.
Has to be emphasized. So that is a good point. Special teams not prevalent as part of the conversation so far.
Unfortunately, after that punt, one or two plays later, they had Sims had that 59-yard run. So you know they got him back. But more importantly, like you said, it came at a good time. He flipped the field, 64-yard punt, and it was like a 62-yard net. So that was a big play.
Well, and a nice segue to the Sims run because A.J. Marshall at A.J. Marshall 3 says Trevin Wade had himself a bounce-back game, tripped up Sims on the 59-yard run, and then the return touchdown on the lateral play at the end of the game. Third straight game, by the way, that the Giants' defense has scored a touchdown.
Trevin Wade also had another fumble recovery, too. He had two fumble recoveries
correct.
In that game. So
off the Doug Martin.
Exactly.
The forced fumble that Jesper Brinkley helped set up.
Yep. Yep.
So with that being said, appreciate all the phone calls, all the
Thank
tweets.
Thank you, everybody.
We will continue to break it all down and look ahead to the Patriots the rest of the week here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We want to remind you, fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code New York to play for free. For Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow. We'll speak to you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.